All this week, we've been talking about legal immigration. We've heard from an expert who believes the Trump administration is making it too difficult for people to come to the U.S. legally. And we've heard from someone who advises the Trump administration and doesn't believe the White House is going far enough to restrict legal immigration. You can hear those conversations at hereandnow.org. Today, some people personally affected by the changes. Foreign enrollment in U.S. universities has fallen for 2 years in a row, and last spring, university presidents from every four-year university and college in New Jersey wrote a letter to Congress. They said it's become harder for foreign students and professors to study and work in the U.S., and that is weakening American higher education. We're joined now by Elizabeth Gill, Director of International Employment and Immigration at Montclair State University in New Jersey. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, tell us about your experience. What has changed the most in the past couple of years for Montclair's foreign-born students?
So I think we're seeing changes on a number of different levels. The first of those is in visa processing, just trying to get students here. And then after that, getting students to be able to stay here legally, helping them be able to renew their visas successfully, and then dealing with work authorization.
And are you seeing a big decline in the amount of students who are able to make it through all of that?
It's hard to get a good count on visa denials because that information is self-reported by students. But we are hearing anecdotally that students are having difficulty with the visa process. I was speaking to one of our education faculty members just a couple of days ago, and she's noticed in her graduate program a big increase in visa issues and denials over the past couple of years. So, for instance, this fall, they admitted three international students who seemed to be financially stable, had every intent and plan to return to their home countries after graduation, which is a big part of the F1 visa process. And of the three, only one of them was actually able to come to the U.S. So that can be really frustrating.
Well, and I understand that you have seen a lot more requests for evidence from the government for students and employees who are trying to get into the country.
That's correct. So there are two parts to that. Last summer, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services issued a policy memo about requests for evidence, or RFEs, that basically said that their officers were no longer required to issue a request for evidence for a petition or application that seemed to be lacking in some way, that they now had the authorization to deny an application outright. So that caused a lot of anxiety amongst employers of H-1B workers. And then in addition to that, we've just seen this increase in requests for evidence that we wouldn't necessarily have seen.
What about when it comes to faculty that you're trying to bring in?
So it's the same kind of thing, but, you know, when we are hiring somebody from abroad for certain countries and in certain fields of study, we're very regularly now seeing the person is being sent through additional visa review. For instance, right now we have a scientist from Pakistan who applied for a visa in early March, and that application is still pending with no real end in sight. So we have an unfilled position, and that person is in a kind of limbo while they wait for the results.
So some of the people who believe that tightening up the visa systems for international students in particular is a good thing say that these students are just propping up U.S. universities with their tuition, but they're taking spaces that American students could have filled. Have you heard that, and what do you say to that?
Well, at Montclair State, we have a really very richly diverse community of students, of faculty and scholars, and we're always looking for the best students and employees that we can find, regardless of where they come from. So, you know, that doesn't come into our decision-making process. It's about finding the best students and the best employees that we can.
That is Elizabeth Gill, who's Director of International Employment and Immigration at Montclair State University in New Jersey. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Jeremy.
And now let's get the perspective of someone who's struggled to cut through the red tape. High-skill employment-based visa denials have spiked in the last couple of years, according to data from the Department of Homeland Security. Immigration lawyers say the process for getting a visa is becoming longer and more complicated. And immigration advocates fear that's driving high-skilled workers out of the U.S. to places like Australia, Europe, or Canada. Hassan Bhatti is one of those people. He's found himself living in Toronto, where he co-founded Cryptonumerics, a data science company. He's a Pakistani immigrant who graduated from the University of British Columbia in 2015, then started working at a startup at Y Combinator, the business that launched Dropbox and Airbnb. And Hassan joins us now from Toronto. Now, in 2017, you gave up trying to immigrate to the U.S. What happened?
Yeah, and a few of my friends actually came up with an idea. We were lucky to find ourselves in Silicon Valley through Y Combinator in 2016. But as we went through the process of going through Y Combinator, raising money, and the company was doing well, and we were growing, hiring more employees, the challenge always remained that most of us were international, and some of us were international from countries which are more in the third world or developing economies. And we applied for my visa. Initially, it got requests for more information. We submitted them more requests for more information as well, but then the visa was denied. Unfortunately, during that process, there was a change in power in the U.S. as well, and I think there was more scrutiny on individuals who were applying for visa, especially coming from countries which are not your Anglo-Saxon countries like Europe or North American countries moving to the U.S.
So have you totally given up on the idea of coming to the United States to work in the U.S.?
Right now, I'm focused on getting my Canadian citizenship pathway. And I think in your 20s, it's much more easier to make a base and foundation in a new country. And as you then develop those roots, it's harder to uproot them, and the cost of uprooting them goes higher and higher. So I think it has to be much more significant reason for me to move and try again through the U.S. immigration process instead of just continuing in Canada, moving somewhere else.
Now, you as a co-founder of Cryptonumerics have hired engineers who have immigrated to Canada as well. What do you hear from them and people you know back in Pakistan about whether the U.S. is still an attractive destination for school and work?
So as an example, we recently were interviewing a candidate who graduated from UCLA in a PhD program. And he went back to India, and unfortunately, his visa back to the U.S. was not approved. So he's stuck in India, but his professors allowed him to continue his thesis work in India. And he's now looking to move to Canada. And he's a smart, bright person who is graduating from one of the top institutions in the country, but is unable to get even his visa to finish his education. Those are type of challenges which are happening. When I talk to friends who are looking to in Pakistan or to move abroad, I think Canada and Australia seem like much of an easier option just because of their simplified immigration process, while the U.S. seems like more complex, it's more expensive. A lot of people have done MBAs now there who have come to Canada now after doing their MBAs, grad school, because they just do not find H-1B visas after their one-year work permit or three-year work permit. So they had to move back either to their home countries or some of them moved to Canada.
So if there's a member of Congress or somebody in the White House who's listening to this right now, what would your message be to them?
I think they definitely need to rethink their immigration strategy, because I think a lot of people want to move to the U.S. because there's a lot of opportunity. But if it's really hard and complex for someone to do that and they can find an easier option, people are willing to give up some of the economic benefits for the social reasons and for the comfort of being stability and certainty of that they can stay in a country. So I think the U.S. definitely needs to think about their immigration and try to make it more certain and predictable for individuals.
That is Hassan Bhatti, who is joining us from Toronto, where he has co-founded a data science company after not getting his visa here in the United States. Hassan, thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.